Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, listen, the LeBron news is swirling. We talked about it briefly, and I was like, listen, there's no way that this is getting done. You practically have no chance of it happening. Well, all of a sudden, there's more and more of a chance that it could be possible. I mean, LeBron's essentially trolling the world on social media and where he's golfing and what he's wearing and everything else. So, doors open. Let's find out just how open it is by heading out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You can find its work over on Cleveland Cavaliers on SI. Spencer Davies, and he joins us now. Spencer, what's going on?
What's up, Jake? How are you?
We're doing pretty good. I mean, put a percent on it. How likely is it that LeBron isn't playing in LA by the time that the season actually kicks off?
Man. That is the question, isn't it? You know, I've been through a lot of these off seasons when LeBron was here, and it seems like it just kind of carries with him wherever he goes. It does seem a little bit different right now, especially just being on the, you know, back nine of his career, possibly being in that retirement conversation over the next year or two. But I still think he ends up back in LA. I'm not sure about that. There's not sourcing on any of this. It's just inklings, but I'm never going to close the door on something happening with LeBron just because it's always got to be championship for him. And it's just something that has followed him throughout his career, no matter where he's been.
So Kurt Heelan had reported yesterday the idea that the Cavs really weren't moved by the idea of going to get him. They weren't making any urgent moves to go do it. And it was essentially kind of on pause, which to me at least signals that if you're kind of on pause for LeBron, doesn't feel like you're kind of in it all. Is that the wrong decision for the Cavs? Would that be a mistake for them?
It's just, what is your philosophical viewpoint of this? It's like, do you want to potentially sacrifice everything you've built to this point to get that lottery ticket, to get that 1 to 2 years of LeBron that they have left, or are you banking on the internal growth of what you've built with the core four and guys like Darius Garland and Evan Mobley to get you to the promised land? And I think I lean more towards the second because of the depth part of it. I think in order to get LeBron, especially via trade, you would have to essentially get rid of 4 to 5 players and see where the cards lie after that. And then I think that that also could potentially send the organization into a completely different mode as far as acquiring talent. And then obviously the implications it would have on their salary moving forward. I know that you probably could court some free agents after that period, but the free agent pool isn't all that great, especially when you look at guys that are up for extensions with their current teams. I don't know. I would lean against it, but I completely understand the viewpoint, knowing how good LeBron James is, how he is one of the best players of all time. But I just don't think the allure of LeBron James at where he's at now is the same as the last time we saw him in a Cleveland uniform. I just don't think physically he's the same. I think skill-wise, talent-wise, improved jump shooter, I think all that is still there, but I don't know if LeBron can be your alpha on a championship team anymore.
Spencer, you obviously bring up sort of how the CBA plays against the idea of getting LeBron. Is there any way that it plays sort of towards the idea of getting him too, just with the idea that it's harder to keep teams together and go for sustained success so that you'd kind of want to buy in and go all in for it while you could?
Yeah, there is definitely some of that. I kind of liken it to like how NFL teams work almost, you know? Like, you have to be able to try and take advantage of a window that's 1 to 2 years versus maybe in past years it might have been 4 to 5 years if you could keep a team together. And nowadays, supermaxes and how the quote-unquote middle class is being kind of removed by the collective bargaining agreement that the NBA has now, I understand, again, the viewpoint of trying to just go for it. But I also think there's human element to this. I think there's depth element that would be missing. You would have to get really, really creative to do something like this. But again, I'm not saying it's wrong. This is just my personal opinion. Like, if they were to go out and get LeBron James and say Darius Garland and Jared Allen and DeAndre Hunter or something like that, we're on the way out in the multi-team deal or something like that, where I've seen being floated around. I think it was Eric Pincus that wrote the trade up. Then, you know, obviously you'd have to go with it and be like, okay, we're all in. We got to figure this out. Cause then it's really championship or bust. I don't even know if this team particular right now, as it stands, is championship or bust. I think it's, you got to get to the finals. But if you don't win it, you still leave yourself some leeway. If LeBron James were to come to Cleveland, that would ramp up the pressure even more, because everywhere he goes, so does the external expectation. I know it's high right now, but people haven't seen anything yet. If LeBron James were in town and Donovan Mitchell and Evan Mobley were on this team, that ratchets it up so, so much higher.
Spencer Davies, Cleveland Cavaliers on SI with us here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Is there a fear that he would go somewhere else in the East? Like, I know the Knicks have been floated. Is that any extra pressure that gets put on to you, knowing that as open as the conference is right now, that LeBron would be there, almost creating the extra pressure alongside of it?
I think the Eastern Conference would definitely be shaking in their boots if LeBron James went anywhere in the East, because of how, you know, wide open it certainly appears to be right now, especially just knowing his track record in the Eastern Conference. I do think there's a lot more parity nowadays than there was in the East back in the day, maybe when LeBron was going through Toronto and Indiana, you know, those days when he was in Cleveland. Even Boston at that time, you know, was losing to LeBron before they ultimately, you know, stuck to mostly their crew and ended up overcoming the hump just a couple years ago. I think that the Eastern Conference teams would not be happy if LeBron James ended up at somebody's house. And, you know, New York, I know, was a popular one that's in a lot of people's minds. But there is ties here too out West too. If he ultimately does get moved or ends up, I doubt that someone would buy out his contract. I really do. But if that were to happen, you know, Dallas and Denver feel like areas to me that really would make sense, especially Dallas, knowing that you have Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving, somebody obviously that he's had a ton of success with and was a champion with here in Cleveland. Anthony Davis, champion with in the bubble in 2020. And then Denver, simply speaking, because of how Jokic plays the game. And also knowing that Jared Dudley just went over there, and that was one of his closest confidants as an assistant coach. He's got a lot of respect for him. So those are just some things that pop into the mind. But I think it's hard to tell, but I do think a lot of this is just the usual off-season hoopla around LeBron James, the cryptic messaging, the same old song and dance. And I think it's a lot of fun to speculate. But in the end, I do not think that this is something that changes. Because we got to remember, too, Bronny is still in L.A. We still got to remember that part, too.
Spencer, a conversation that involves LeBron in a different way. The Mind the Game podcast a couple of days ago, going out and somehow Darius Garland gets wrapped into the mix there. They're talking about...
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
About his value, and Kevin Durant talks about the fact of how teams attack him, and being the size that he is, isn't just a viable defender. Is that reality? Is size a real problem for Darius, and should it be a consideration for the Cavs to be looking elsewhere because of it?
It's certainly an issue, and it's something that you have to overcome by being extremely good offensively. The problem is that Darius hasn't had the opportunity to be really good offensively in the playoffs for most of his career. He has had games where he's needed to be better in the postseason, but a lot of the times he is just not himself. He was basically playing with a broken foot against Indiana. You look at the series from last year against Orlando, and then you know the circumstances around that, having had a broken jaw, not being able to drink or eat. He had his personal issues off the floor, unfortunately, when it came to a family member. So it's just one of those perfect storms. I still wholeheartedly believe in Darius Garland. I understand he's going to be targeted by teams defensively. That is the nature of the beast. But you can offset that by being an offensive engine. And I think Darius is an offensive engine. Is he going to be the best player on a team in a championship? No. But can he help? Can he be the guy to stir the drink? I think absolutely. And another thing, too, with Darius, and it comes to Kenny Atkinson when he has his defensive schemes, Darius has been switched on to a lot of the bigger players. It's almost like they're baiting guys like Jason Tatum and, you know, some of these guys like Franz Wagner to say, okay, I've got a mismatch. I'm going to go try to go at Darius Garland instead of settling for jump shots. And then that brings them into the paint where the rim protectors are. And I think in a vacuum, I think that was actually a pretty good strategy. And I don't know what the numbers are. I did see a couple of charts around, but I think that's a viable strategy, and it's almost smart because you're baiting him, essentially. So there are ways to make him effective. I think he did a good job off the ball defensively, too, this year as far as getting steals and being that free safety. He's not going to be a stopper. That's not going to happen with Darius Garland. But I think he put up a pretty decent fight defensively this year, and he was on one wheel in that Indiana series.
Spencer, I'm glad you brought that up. And Spencer Davies with us here on the hotline. Because it was something that it sort of came into question with me. Is it something that needs to change? You like the strategy. I was almost thinking about the idea of a few years ago term that got thrown in of trying to hide guys on defense. Is that so viable in the NBA? Like, can you hide Darius Garland on defense by avoiding switching and trying to keep guys there? Or is that almost a lost art at this point?
I think teams are always going to pick out weaknesses and figure a way to get them. It's just kind of the nature of the beast. And I feel like almost every team in the NBA, including the best defensive teams in the league, you have a very, very few, like, you know, the OKCs of the world or even Boston. Like, it's hard to find teams that sound defensively. A lot of teams, you can find a quote-unquote weak link. You can find a liability, and you have to exploit it. That's the name of the game in basketball, is to exploit disadvantages for the other team so that you can score. It's simple, it's basic, and I feel like that kind of gets lost in the shuffle. Someone's always going to have the worst option on the floor, even if you have the best five defenders out there. They're still the worst of that best. You know what I'm saying? So I think that it's really hard to hide guys. And secondly, I feel like the game nowadays is so fast-paced, it's so up-tempo, that you can really have a hard time when you're not set. And I feel like if you get beat down the floor, you're going to look bad defensively. And so you have to be better in transition. You have to get to your spots. You have to call out. You got to communicate. And it's just tough. It's just tough. But when it slows down in the playoffs, you're going to have to find a way to grit up and try and do your best. And I think we've had this conversation, too, about Darius Garland and his trajectory as far as his body goes, being similar to Stephen Curry's build. And I think that that is still where my head is at when it comes to DG.
Spencer, one of the other things that was sort of getting at me with this team, obviously, Ty Jerome now in Memphis, the team decided to sign Sam Merrill. A lot floated around. I'll ask you a couple of things on it. But the one thing for me is you see people clamor, and we saw it online during the playoffs, how, oh, well, I know we got calls about it. Like, George Niang could have been good for this team just by sort of the mentality that he brings and his attitude on the court. Am I wrong in saying that Ty Jerome was sort of the next guy in line in that, maybe aside from Tristan Thompson, who wasn't on the floor, but that you're almost losing that sort of edge to you by losing Ty as well?
Well, I think Ty was extremely confident in what he did. I do think that Max Strus has that element about him. I think that's the guy that you'd call your quote-unquote enforcer on the floor, not afraid to mix it up, not afraid to get in your face, hard foul, whatever it may be. But Ty certainly was aggressive in that respect and certainly did not, you know, be bashful when he had it going offensively. And I think that's going to be a huge loss. It's going to be a huge loss for the Cavs. They're going to have to figure out and depend on a guy like Lonzo Ball and Craig Porter Jr. and Jalen Tyson, guys who weren't in the regular rotation last year to really, you know, get it going. And I think, you know, Larry Nance might bring an element of that too. I think that's another thing about this as well, as far as a free agent pickup goes. I think that was a really smart idea just because he's got familiarity here, but he's also somebody that doesn't back down from a fight. So I think that will help. But in terms of Ty, you're going to have to find a way to replicate that offensive scoring. I think that you do have a table setter with Lonzo in the way that Craig Porter Jr. can attack and get to the paint. I think that's good. But Ty is not easily replaceable. You're going to have to go by committee for that one.
Did it feel like an overreaction to you to the Indiana series, or was it more of a deep-seated problem with Ty?
No, you know, I'm really curious about this one. It appeared to be you had to choose one or the other if you were the organization between Sam Merrill and Ty Jerome. And we've heard Kenny Atkinson speak so glowingly of Sam Merrill all year long, and people assume he's just a shooter. But Kenny goes over and over again about defense and being in the right places and firming up even if your man is bigger than you. And, you know, offensively, just the off-ball movement that Sam Merrill has and drawing that attention, similar to Max, and being able to do so much more than just stand there and shoot. And I think that's what Kenny Atkinson respects about him the most. And defensively, again, I think his IQ was really good. I know that he's not the biggest guy and might not even be the strongest guy, but he is somebody that's always in the right place at the right time defensively. And Kenny respects that. And he's clearly a part of this rotation. You know, 4 years, $38 million is nothing to scoff at for, you know, your eighth, ninth guy on the bench. And that's a testament to the work that Sam's put in. And, you know, good for him. But I can seeing that dollar value and seeing Ty Jerome's dollar value in Memphis and kind of being like, what went on here? I get that. And, you know, I'll try to dig into more into that.
Spencer, I'm looking forward to you doing it. I'm looking forward to both reading and seeing what you have to say. I appreciate you hopping on, as always, and look forward to talking more as the offseason progresses. And who knows, maybe LeBron is a Cleveland Cavalier.
We will see. Thanks, Jake.
Appreciate you, Spencer. Spencer Davies there with us, Cleveland Cavaliers on SI. Joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We're going to react to what Spencer had to say. Some really good stuff, both on LeBron and elsewhere as well. But I want to get into you with guys. If LeBron ends up anywhere else in the East outside of Cleveland, are you going to be mad at the Cavs? 216-474-0092. We'll talk about it here coming up in about 5 minutes.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.